To celebrate the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote, South Carolina Public Radio and South Carolina ETV are broadcasting this series, Sisterhood, South Carolina Suffragist, a look at how local women played a role in a national movement that eventually guaranteed more than 26 million women the right to vote. I'm Felicia Eady. In 1919, an unexpected ally for women's suffrage emerged out of Edgefield.
A very conservative, traditional woman, wife and mother, first and foremost, a homebody, played the organ or piano at her church.
James O. Farmer Jr. is author and emeritus professor of history at the University of South Carolina, Aiken. He's researched and published works about Emily Anderson Dunavant.
But somehow, in one aspect of her life, she was a radical for her time.
In Farmer's biographical sketch of Dunavant, we learn she was born in December of 1866 in Spartanburg County. Her father was a Confederate veteran and a red shirt during the campaign that overthrew the state's Reconstruction regime. Her mom was the daughter of a clergyman. Emily was a devout Christian. She married in 1888 and settled into the life of a traditional wife and mother until
a child custody case involving the two daughters of Benjamin Ryan Tillman III, who was the son of the famous or notorious South Carolina governor and senator Ben Tillman.
The same case that called Eulalie Sally of Aiken to join the movement.
The fact that a woman did not even have equal rights to her own flesh and blood if her husband wanted to do something else with them infuriated, I'm sure, most women across the state. And it infuriated both Ms. Dunavant and Ms. Sally.
So from her home, Dunavant became the voice of the movement in South Carolina.
Well, I call her, in an article I wrote, the publicist of the suffragist movement in South Carolina. She was a good writer.
She joined the Equal Suffrage League and began writing letters to the state newspaper. She became the official journalist for the League of Women Voters, writing a regular column that was distributed in more than 20 newspapers.
And it was something she could do at home. What she did was wrote them out longhand, mailed them to Eulalie Sally in Aiken. Miss Sally had a secretary who typed it up and then mailed it to the state. So that gives you an idea of how remote, how limited she was in resources. She couldn't drive, didn't have a typewriter, but had a way with words.
Which he refers to as folksy and clever.
Just lighthearted. They weren't the work of a zealot or someone who is just constantly angry and putting their anger out there. And what is wrong with you people? Don't you understand women are equal to men? I guess she was smart enough to realize that approach would not work.
But what did work, Farmer says, was Dunavant's ability to connect with readers.
You can immediately tell if you read one why people would turn to that page and read that column, looking forward to, you know, what clever things is she going to be saying this time.
He believes if this unlikely ally of women's suffrage never used her writing skill,
the movement would have had a lot less visibility. She was the voice of the movement, so more people were brought to think about how they felt about women's suffrage through her writing.
For more on Emily Anderson Dunavant and the other women we've profiled in this series so far, click on Sisterhood, South Carolina Suffragist, on our website at southcarolinapublicradio.org. I'm Felicia Eady.